Welcome to another episode of the Racing Shame Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and I'm here again with Jen Xuan Chen as we continue our conversation. This is episode 4 of 5, and we talk about the inner journey of spiritual formation. Jen, thank you for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, DJ.
I think it's been a wonderfully enjoyable journey for me, and I hope for our listeners and viewers. I don't get a lot of feedback, but when I'm on the road meeting people, people do come up and tell me, oh, they've heard of Erasing Shame podcast and they're listening. So
good. That's
good.
Yeah, that is good.
Thank you for adding to the conversation.
Absolutely.
And these are, well, we'd like to think words of life and seeds that will grow and blossom in its own time as people become more comfortable with our inner journey of who God has made us to be and the healing he offers and provides as we're learning how to handle our emotions and gain a spiritual and thoughtful perspective of why we go through the things we go through that are confusing, painful, and suffering. And so we're coming up on a fourth stage of that spiritual formation paradigm. Would you review the first three and introduce the fourth one for us today?
Sounds good. Well, I think that, let me get my brain in the right place. The first stage that, or the season, is the shaping of our lives, the stories that make up our lives, especially in our early formation days, much of which we had zero control over. It's how we came to understand the world and our, and who we are in it. And the second season or stage of this formation journey is undoing, the undoing spaces, the times, the stories, the places, perhaps of deep heartache and suffering, where questions come and we don't necessarily have the immediate answers, where perhaps we started out with maybe a more boxy faith, an understanding of God, which I think in some ways is really important. And just as we, the container is being made to hold our faith, but as we grow, we realize, oh, maybe it begins to shift and we begin to see God in bigger ways, and the mysteries of God are much bigger than our ability to explain, maybe in a linear fashion. The third that we did last time was the awakening, just the awakening of our souls to who God is, who we are, new ways of understanding. And I don't mean like in a kind of crazy way, but just in this, oh, how God is more loving and more kind and more holy than I ever could have imagined. And all of that fits. And he begins to awaken ourselves to just who we are and how we kind of fit in this journey. And so today we're going to look at the fourth season or stage, and called the remaking. And I love, I struggled with finding the right word of just reshaping, remaking, but he's transforming us, isn't he, DJ? He's makes all things new, and he's doing new in our life. It doesn't matter how long we've journeyed with God. There's always hope for change in the best way, I think, and restoration and wholeness and healing. So that's today.
Well, wonderful. I mean, from even the beginner Bible studies that we learned that when we come to Christ, we are a new creation. And so it's not an instant thing, although there is an instant moment when we realize that is happening. But it is an entire lifetime process of how God takes us through the experiences of life to make us more like Christ. And for those from a more theological background, they might use words like sanctification or spiritual growth or spiritual formation. But I think what you're describing here as remaking is a bit more specific and has more contours around that. So can you elaborate?
Yeah, I definitely agree that when we come into relationship with God, there is a shift, there's a change. We talk about the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, where and requires our participation. It's not just something that's done to us. It's of our volition. We choose and we say, yeah, God, I can't do this life on my own. I really need you. But I think that our life is made up of 1,000 moments like that, where we come to realize, wow, I really need God, and I really need a new way of being or thinking, or I need God to come in to this space of this season of my life and help me. And I think there's so many, our lives are filled with so many moments where we are being made new. So yes, we have been made new, and yet there's this process that continues of our being made new, being remade, lovingly changed, that God pursues us with his love. It's him who loved us first. And then our response to that love that reshapes us from the inside.
So describe the part that's our participation, because we often hear about, you know, God's going to do the work, and we would just let go and let God, or we just endure the suffering. Maybe we memorize some Bible verses, but I think there's another level of that that's a bit deeper and more engaging.
Yeah. Yeah, this is hard work, DJ. I think it's hard to describe it without just a story. I think I think that probably just as we talk, I'd love to hear just what triggers in you. Mm-hmm. But I think that it requires a slowing down and a paying attention. I think our rote responses to things, to life, to whatever happens to us, we respond in such a natural way. So when someone comes at us, and they might, are either our defenses come up, or we respond in anger, or we respond in, we feel insecure. And there's all these, when people say, we all have emotions and feelings, but we're just not so aware of them all the time. And I think that we can try to not be angry. And I think we can try really hard. But unless we begin to be curious and begin to wonder, I wonder why these moments make me feel so angry. We don't talk about being curious very often. We've taught to stop it, stop the sin, stop whatever you're doing. That's bad. But you tell a kid, you know, we raised 4 kids, and when they were young, we said, hey, we're going to put on our happy heart. We're going to put away our grumpy attitudes, and we're going to put on our happy heart. And, you know, as I heard myself say it, I remember just thinking, that isn't so easy, but we're going to just keep it simple here. Put on a smile. You're 4. We can do that. But as they get older, and as we get older, I mean, obviously putting on a smile is being happy is and being joyful, and all of that is much more than putting on a smile. But if all I've learned is just put on a smile and just stop it, it doesn't actually hit at the deeper parts of my heart. And so our participation is just beginning to slow down and invite God in. As we've talked about in the last 3 episodes, what does paying attention mean? So when I feel angry, or I feel the shame, or I feel really insecure, or I feel a certain, I feel hurt, I feel sensitive towards these kind of people, or I feel small, or whatever it is, that I can pause and just say, Jesus, I invite you in. This is really hard. And I want to hear you speak to me. Because while I know perhaps my anger is not a great thing to express at this moment, we can't help ourselves. Actually, we can't. And we need the Holy Spirit to come in and work in our hearts. But I think it's that moment by moment kind of like dependence. God, I can't do this on my own. I really need you. I can't not be angry. When I walk into these spaces, I can't not feel sensitive and perhaps defensive, or my need to feel big, or the way others make me feel small. Like, God, I would invite you in. And I think leaning in and listening to his voice, perhaps there's things in my own life that I still want to control the narrative. I'm afraid to let God into parts of my story. But he's just, I think when we come to, in, if everything is about our relationship with God, then we come to know God as the one who loves us, that we are his beloved. That's who we are. That won't ever shift or change. Then he has created the safest space for then me to bring my stuff to him. So I think when I say it involves our participation, he draws me, but I also need to come. And I need to respond. Even if it's just a tiny movement that says, yes, I want more.
Thank you. It's certainly easier to have that with a spiritual director or a spiritual formation coach like yourself. But sometimes all we have, or most of the time, all we have is ourselves. And then the emotions that hit us in the moment, because we're feeling beings, and emotions are more like a dashboard. They happen. We're in different situations, and we can either ignore them or we can pay attention to them. And depending on the situation, if I'm driving down the road and something happens, you know, I don't really have the time to reflect and be curious about those feelings. So I just have to respond with the best behavior I have in the moment to keep everyone safe and so on. But as I find time, perhaps in the evening or in the next morning, as I find time to slow down and create the space to do some reflection, it can make a difference in how we processed that moment spiritually. And so here's good news, Jen. So before we started this series of podcasts, you did this thing called an Ignatius posture and prayer and reflection before you decided to do the series with me, for which I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I got to practice a Ignatius prayer exercise during the March 18th Mental and Emotional Health Symposium in New York City, where I was.
Okay.
And the pastor, Sharon Swift, took us through an exercise inviting the Spirit of God to be with us. And we took the time to slow down. We went through a stage of consolation and desolation and response. I forget how long it took, but I think it was 20, 30 minutes or so. And it turned out to be a meaningful time. Even I don't usually do it regularly. I've only heard it here and there once in a blue moon or less often. So, but I thought it was a really meaningful time. So would you take a moment to explain how that is a form of participating?
Yeah, I'm excited that you got to just experience that, DJ. I think that partnering of the examine is what the exercise on a daily basis would be called, examine, E-X-A-M-E-N. Of just a way of reflecting, a way of cultivating a reflective heart. Essentially, that's what it is. So those big words, consolation and desolation of the soul, but it's kind of like thinking back on my day. So if we began to just build this into the rhythms of our day in the evening, just taking 10 minutes, just thinking, doesn't even need to be written down. It's just a pause. What were the things today that brought me joy? What were the things that today that brought me closer to God? And what were the things today that perhaps took me away from his presence? And that doesn't even necessarily mean like these are like good, bad. These are not, maybe not, those aren't the categories that we're using. Perhaps it was busyness, a lot of good things that we are part of, but we felt that kind of exit out of God's presence. We felt such a sweet, got up, we had time with God in the morning and sweet fellowship. And then like, I got a text and I felt this like, oh, disappointed someone. Oh, I forgot I had a 9 o'clock call. And I totally, now I look, whatever it is, fill in the blank. Oh, that moment happened. So in the evening, just taking that moment to just kind of think about my day, what was it? In a non-judgmental, like, God, I bring you everything kind of way. And then just being able to just leave that in God's presence. And so I think like that exercise is such a way of just, God's already involved and he's part, but most of us are pretty inactive participants in terms of our awareness of God's presence throughout our day. So I think that practice of examine has helped me slow down. In fact, I practice it just even throughout the day and in the form of the question, what just happened? Like, I feel like I'm bopping along and I'm having a great day. And then it's like, wait, what just happened? Oh, and it usually for me, it's like, I will do everything that I can. I don't want to disappoint anybody. That's just totally my, that's like the thing that will get me. Of course, if you pull on it a little more, it's just my own pride. Pulling it a little bit more, it's like hits my ego. So it's not like a holy thing, but it's a thing that I'm not afraid to confess. And I think when we confess it in community, we're less scared of it. Like we're just, this is part of the human experience. God is so kind and he's remaking that. So I'm less afraid. And leadership will, you know, having been in leadership in various spaces has taught me, you know, you cannot please everyone. And someone told me that leadership was about disappointing people. So if that's the case, then I've been in training for quite some time. But I think that just that ability just to say it out loud and to invite God in to say, that was really hard, Lord. And and maybe not every day is so big to reflect through, but I think becoming a more reflective person is maybe part of our participation of that inviting, responding to the Spirit of God at work in our lives. And I think even like when you asked me, could you co-host or be part of Erasing Shame? And I think I just had to sit with the Lord and think, how does that make me feel? Lord, where are you in this? And just to pause and just to wait. And that's not a normal, I don't think that's from the West. I don't think we've done that very well, like pausing before we speak or before we act. Or even in our decision-making, I think the slowing down is really, really good. I think we can make some better decisions when we slow down and listen. And that's part of remaking. That's part of this learning to think in a different way. And, oh God, you're part of everything. You're with me as I grocery shop. You're with me at Costco. You're with me as I cook for people I didn't know were coming for dinner. You're with me even as I had to trudge through a whole inbox of stuff I don't want to deal with. He's with us. What would life look like if we just said, God, be with me. Holy Spirit, be with me in this space. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, so I'll share with you how that prayer examine helped me.
I'd love to hear.
Process my mental health and emotional health, because it really does. It helped me to slow down and pay attention to the emotions and feelings that I have. And that's a big part of the work and participation of taking care of ourselves and our feelings and emotions, because we do that. Our cultures don't train us to do that. And
that's right.
Our cultures teach us to suppress that. We don't really have a safe place to really discover or attend and pay attention to that. And then the powerful part was actually bringing God into that space and conversation. And so the first part was to invite God in. And the second part with the consolation, where did God show up? Where did I feel God was drawing me closer? It took me an extra minute or two. I could tell. I was drawing blank at the moment because I don't do this regularly. I just kind of go through the paces of life with the blur.
Yeah.
And I rarely look back. But when I did, and our pastor gave us a time frame of a week, because we just started that morning, so we didn't have a morning. We didn't have a full day to think back on. So we thought back over the week. And as I thought back over the week, I was just amazed and so heartfelt, warmed that God was working so actively in my life that week. Because I had almost every day, I had meaningful, engaging conversations with church leaders about this faith journey that I'm on in developing Christian Asian mental health, of which this podcast is a part of it. The podcast is the weekly conversation where we talk about spiritual and mental health, and it's something that we want to do on an ongoing basis because no one else is doing it, for one.
Right.
And we need to do it to cultivate more health.
Yes.
And then the Christian Asian mental health part is we also want to come alongside of churches and help develop and cultivate what that would look like in each Asian and Asian American church, because it's going to look different in different contexts.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned in some other episodes before, and I'll mention it here, since we have different people listening each week, and we want to help cultivate churches to develop spaces for sermons, stories, seminars, and support groups. And that will become tangible expressions of what it looks like for God to show up and to treasure our tears, treasure our emotions, all as a part of our holistic well-being, instead of just the right beliefs and the right theology or the right behaviors, which well, which leaves us empty for some, create harm for others. And when emotions are unattended to, there are unintended consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good, DJ. Yeah. I think that perhaps in, I preached a couple weeks ago at a church nearby, and after the sermon, a man came up to me. It was an Asian man, probably in his early 60s. And he said, I don't know what's happening to me, but these things are coming out of my eyes. I can't stop it. I can't stop it. Water's just like flowing out of my eyes. And I was like, they're tears. They're tears. And it's okay. This is good. And it was so sweet. It really was a very sacred moment, I think. This sweet man has not encountered a space where he could cry his grief. And he's been through so much, got to hear a little bit of his story and just to listen. And I thought if our churches were safer spaces, creators, like spaces where we can, I think they are safe spaces. We just don't know the safety yet, perhaps. But we could work on cultivating that better. But I think a place where we can bring our tears, because our tears are connected to something deeper. And and I think I'd add, even that when you talk about support groups, and Kurt Thompson talks about the author of The Anatomy of the Soul and The Soul of Shame, but he talks about confessional communities. And I've begun some just in a few spaces here in the Northwest, and helped a few begin overseas as well, and just places where people can gather and begin to grow together in not spewing out all of our garbage and all of our sin. I don't think that's what it's supposed to be, but a place where we can name, what's going on. I think perhaps it was Henry Nouwen that talked about, like, what if life is about articulation? Learning a new way to see. If life is all about learning to see. And perhaps this is all what we're talking about, is learning to see in a new way. Perhaps the things that we called bad, we called didn't belong, we gave names to when we were young, or the adults in our lives named things. And maybe as we grow, there's an invitation to maybe look at it again and say, maybe those weren't bad. Maybe the story I've told myself has been this, but maybe God's inviting me to see it a different way. And when I can name my disappointments, when I can name the things that were hard, and I can just say, and I can tell a friend, these are not just things that require a professional to walk with you. I think we can build these or create these community spaces where even just what we're doing here, where we're saying, yeah, that was disappointing, or that moment was really hard for me. And we're not judging each other for it, but we're just able to receive each other. What we need a lot of practice in that, don't we?
Yes.
But I have such hope if we, the more we practice this, slowing down, paying attention, this is like lay stuff. This is not, you and I are not professional therapists. There's definitely big spaces for that and huge needs for professionals in our life. But I'm more talking about just, cultivating new spaces for reflection and confession.
Amen. Here's a surprising thing. 2 weeks ago, I went to a church, and I love going to all kinds of churches because the body of Christ is wide and vast.
That's right.
Beautiful in all its expressions. Mm-hmm. I do have a home church that I'm committed to where I go deep with, but I also want to learn, explore, and be open to what the Spirit's doing in different ways. And it struck me that I went to a church that actually took like 3 to 4 minutes for a time of confession. And after the service, I told the pastor, I can't remember the last time that I was in a church service where they had a time of confession. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And perhaps for many of us listening to this podcast, your church doesn't have a dedicated space every week for a time of confession. Now, some in the high liturgy tradition, they might have a prayer confession where you just read through.
Right.
To actually have space for it. And to have the prompt at the beginning, I was just awestruck and how that impacted me. And so in the service, that's one format of it. Another format of it would be like in a small group or a retreat or a prayer examine. So there's many different expressions of it.
Yes.
But how rare and elusive that is to being in the company of a few others to do that.
Yeah. Because it requires like honesty in naming, and perhaps we're afraid to look inside. And some of us have come out of legalistic church backgrounds. I know I did in my early, early years and as a child. And I think that confession piece, perhaps there's a swing from, in response sometimes to that. It feels like it's forced or it's not safe. I don't want to tell everybody what's going on. But I think at the very least and very most, we are safe in God's presence as he sees us.
Yes.
He saw Adam and Eve as they were hiding, and his call to them was an invitation. It wasn't he wasn't trying to call them out in shame. He was inviting them back into relationship with him. And maybe that's what we can understand confession to be, just an invitation to closer intimacy with God.
Yes. Beautiful. Well said. Thank you. Jen, I had one last thought come to mind.
Yes.
As we end this serious conversation about spiritual formation. And next week, we'll talk about the new book you're working on. So listeners and viewers, come back for next week's episode of Erasing Shame. But I there's an itch of a question, because in my life experience, I've had different conversations with different people, and it just seems like not a lot of people are interested in this inward journey, spiritual formation thing. What do you do with that?
I think that my compassion has grown. I think as I realize God's grace in my life and his patience with me and the people he placed in my life, he's brought so many different men and women in my life who are doing hard work and have inspired me. As I watch their marriages, I watch their relationship with their kids, it's inspired me and my husband into deeper spaces. So I think when I meet people and their eyes glaze over, which is really a lot of the time, it's okay. And then we begin to talk about things that I think matter to them, like relationships. And I'll ask about how's their relationship with their kids. And, you know, we're all holding some kind of pain or another. Mm-hmm. All of us are. And as we get older, a lot of our pain that we hold has to do with our children, whether it's our concerns over their lives, their futures, who they're becoming, or what might happen to them. And so I find that there's a way I can be with someone that still, it isn't agenda driven. It's just to be with someone and let them be where they are. But I think we're all hungry for more, whether it's my neighbor next door who doesn't know God. She and I have deep, deep conversations about life and the mysteries of life. And I think she is where she is. And I drop some seeds of hope and faith and share of my life and what God is doing. And so I think it's maybe just letting people be where they are, trusting that God is so good and he's so patient and he will get us to where we're supposed to go.
Yes.
And that, I think what inspires me is that life and relationships and the second half of life that I'm in and that you're in too, DJ, can be so much better in the sense, so much freer. I don't have to be so caught up in me. I can be freer to love. I can be freer to serve. I can be freer to show up into spaces and be less consumed about how others perceive me. That God is in all the ordinary stuff. I can find the sacred in the ordinary. And so I think we need to just keep our living our lives and sharing with joy the things that God's showing us, but not in any way of trying to convince. I think we can inspire and invite as God does for us.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for resolving that tension in my head. And we can be like God, be patient and keep inviting.
Yeah.
Meet people where they are.
That's right.
There we go. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Erasing Shame. We invite you to give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you and join the conversation. Blessing to you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of Christian Asia Mental Health.